Nigerian religious groups in such a short time. Our last presenter for this section is Advocate Eruka. He's going to speak to us on religion and law in Rwanda, a critical analysis on the unclear relationship.
Thank you, Chair. I take this opportunity to thank the organizer to allow me to come and share my thoughts on the relationship between the government, the state, and religion. I remember a few days ago when I told my wife that I was going to attend a conference on religion and law in Ghana, and then she said, "What? Are you going to confuse those religious leaders?" Because she thinks that sometimes, as a human rights activist, most of the time I'm on the wrong side in terms of religious freedom. Well, I will start with some facts which might sound surprising or funny to some of us. In Rwanda, there's nothing like a widespread practice of a family name. So you might find siblings, they don't share family names. That's one of the facts. Also, another fact is that most of old people, not all of them, but some of them, sometimes when they meet people, when they greet them, they make reference to Jesus, just praise to Jesus. So they will say in Kinyarwanda, "Yeza kuzwi." I'm not sure if our interpreter can interpret it. But it seems it's something like an assumption that everyone is a Christian. So sometimes I have friends of mine who are Muslims. So when they will come and meet my mother or aunt, she'll say, "Praise to Jesus." So sometimes they reply, "Yes," but they are a bit confused. And the last one, as a fact, there are many Rwandan names which have some, make reference to God. You'll find someone's name, Hakizimana. Imana means God. So just to show how religion is entrenched in the Rwandan society. And lastly, one, and a confusing one as a fact, is the word Icha. What does it mean? It both means a sin and at the same time an offense or a crime. So when you talk to a Rwandan, this is what you call Icha. So you have to be cautious. Either you mean a crime defined by the law, or you mean a sin according to the religion. So the reason why I decided to choose this topic, which might sound provocative to some extent, is that when you read the Constitution of Rwanda, Article 1, it says that the Rwandan state is an independent, sovereign, democratic, social, and a secular republic. But when you go further, you'll find some controversial provision within the Constitution itself. The first one is with regard to taking off for some specific offices. The first one, if you want to be being elected as a president of Rwanda, when you take an oath before taking office, at the end of the oath, you'll say, "So help me God." The same argument also goes for some specific also public offices. To be, when you have been elected as the Chief Justice, the Deputy Chief Justice, the Prime Minister, the Speaker, the Deputy Speaker of Parliament, as a Senator, Member of Parliament, the Chief of Armed Forces, the Chief of National Police, the President of the High Court, Prosecutor General, the Deputy General, you take also an oath. At the end you say, "So help me God." And lastly, even myself before, when you are called to the bar as an advocate, you also take an oath. That's a totally different one from that the previous one. From the beginning you say, "In the name of the Almighty God." So it means it's an assumption. All lawyers
practicing lawyers should believe us. And some points of contentions again with regard to some criminal offenses which they have some influence from the religion. Religion is adultery. It's criminalized under the penal code, as well as polygamy and bigamy. But when it comes to Muslims, for them, they are allowed to marry as many wives they can. They have never been prosecuted, because it seems like probably the state is afraid to cross the line. But if you are a Christian or you're not a Muslim, and there are some proof or evidence that you have had sex with someone you are not married to, you'll be prosecuted for adultery. Then comes a contradiction. The same constitution, just trying to make a link to find how controversial it is, when you require people to take an oath and make a reference to God, at the same time, Article 45 of the same constitution say all the citizens have the right to participate in the government of the country, whether directly or through freely chosen representatives in accordance with the law. So my question is, as far as the freedom of religion is concerned, what about those people who don't believe in God? Can we say, can we conclude that these people also enjoy their freedom of religion when you compel them, when taking an oath, to make a reference to God? I'll conclude my presentation. I think I don't need to get a warning from Robert, because as the last speaker, I know it has been a very long day. I'll not go into further details and try to make it as short as possible. I was thinking probably one should probably try to even to rephrase even the topic itself. It's like preaching water but drinking wine. What do I mean? The same time, the same constitution guarantees the secular characteristic of the state, but the same constitution contains provisions which defeat the principle of secularism. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Advocate Daruga.